Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Brahma Manavo Vibhudeshvara. Vibhutayo Mama Hyeta. Bhutanang Bhutihetava. Brahma Bhavo Bhavantascha. Manavo Vibhudeshvara. Vibhutayo Mama Hyeta. Bhutanang Bhutihetava. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Manus, and all the other demigods in the higher planetary systems, and you Prajapatis, who are increasing the population, are working for the benefit of all living entities. Thus, you expansions of my marginal energy are incarnations of my various qualities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are various types of incarnations or expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The expansions of his personal self, or Vishnu Tattva, are called Svangsha expansions, whereas the living entities who are not Vishnu Tattva, but Jeev Tattva, are called Vivinangsha, separated expansions. Although Prajapati Daksha is not on the same level as Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, he is compared to them because he engages in the service of the Lord. In the service of the Personality of Godhead, it is not that Lord Brahma is considered very great, while an ordinary human being trying to preach the glories of the Lord is considered very low. There are no such distinctions. Regardless of whether materially high or materially low, anyone engaged in the service of the Lord is spiritually very dear to him. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya gives this quotation from the Tantra Nirnaya, Vishesha Vyakti Patradvad, Brahma dhyastu vibhutaya tad antar yaminas chaiva matsya dhya vibhava smrita. From Lord Brahma down, all the living entities engaged in the service of the Lord are extraordinary and are called vibhuti. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, yad yad Vibhutimat Satvang Srimad Urjitang Eva Va Tattad Eva Vagachatvang Mama Tejam Sa Sambhavam. Know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring but from a spark of my splendor. A living entity, especially empowered to act on behalf of the Lord, is called Vibhuti, whereas the Vishnu Tattva incarnations of the Lord, such as the Matsya Avatar, Keshava Driti Mina Sarira Jaya Jagadisha Hare, are called Vibhava. Well, anyway, I don't know or understand so much about all these incarnations. It's always bewildering to me. I admit that. I'm not just pretending. I get bewildered very easily. But I do know one thing, that ISKCON, when we talk of ISKCON, it means one thing only. Jai Jai Prabhupada, Jai Jai Prabhupada, Jai Jai Prabhupada. That's what it means. Or we can give all other very elaborate meanings, meant to distribute the mercy of the Lord, meant to engage people in chanting Hare Krishna, meant to help people understand who they really are, what their relationship is with Krishna. All of those things are true. But all of that stems from one thing, Jai Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada fulfills this definition of a vibhuti personality. On the same level as Lord Brahma, on the same level as Lord Shiva, on the same level as those who are considered the most exalted personalities in this universe. Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. That's what ISKCON means. So to understand Prabhupada is to understand the whole ISKCON movement. Here, there are no distinctions. Anyone engaged in the service of the Lord is spiritually very dear to him. From Lord Brahma down, all the living entities engaged in the service of the Lord are extraordinary and are called vibhuti. Why do we glorify Prabhupada? Because he was extraordinary. Once, I'll tell you a story. We were picking up what you were saying yesterday, Sri Jagirti Prabhu. We went to, it was a festival time. Prabhupada told us no parikrama. So we asked him, this is a preamble to the story that I'm really going to get to. So we said, well, Prabhupada, can't we at least go to the jog pit? Prabhupada thought for a while and he said, yes, you may go for 15 minutes, chant Hare Krishna, offer your obeisances and come right back. So the devotees went off up the road. At that time, the whole road was, there were no trees, there were no tea stalls, there were no anything. The road was empty. So you could see all the way up the road, pretty much to the jog pit. Prabhupada watched the whole time they went up and the whole time they came back. So he didn't want us to go on parikrama. But I think the following year we arranged to go to one of his godbrother's mutts for prasad. They had invited all the devotees to come for prasad. So we went, we all went there, we took boats down the Ganges, we all jumped off and swam, went to the ashram. When we got there, there was a whole pondal there, and there was a stage, and there was a big seat, and several other lesser seats, and all duddies laid out in the courtyard. It was a whole pondal. So we were surprised. We thought we were just going there to eat. But actually, there was something other going on. So anyway, this exalted Vaishnav came down, and he sat down on the seat, and other godbrothers were sitting there, and they were speaking, and then they asked various devotees who were sitting there, like me, Gargamuni, Achyutananda. I remember we were invited up onto the stage to speak. Meanwhile, of course, it's Gaur Purnima time. There are thousands of pilgrims passing by on the road, looking through the gate, seeing this pandal with all these shaibs sitting there. You know shaib? You know what the meaning of shaib is? Is that only Bengali? Shaibs and memshaibs? White people. White-bodied people. So they're all sitting there, and this personality, very exalted Vaishnava, is sitting there, and it looks like he's receiving the worship of all these foreigners. So anyway, we returned, and we went into Prabhupada. Prabhupada wanted to see us. And we walked into Prabhupada's room. Oh, it was heavy. Uh-oh. Prabhupada was sitting there, very grave. And all these GBC men sitting there with their dandas. And I remember Tamal and Brahmananda. Heavy. Uh-oh. What's wrong? So I scooted around to the back of the room. I was sitting in the back of the quarter. So Prabhupada asked, "You went to so-and-so's ashram?" "And why did you go?" "We went for prasad." "And what happened?" "Well, Gargamuni, I think, was me." He said, "There was a pandal and he was sitting there." And Prabhupada said, "What did you say?" Now I'm starting to sweat. Uh-oh. What did I say? I couldn't remember. I knew that something was going to come down. There was a big train coming down the track, and I was stuck on the track, couldn't move. Uh-oh. I want to get out of the way here, but I was pinned. So Gargamuni said, "Oh, we taped it." Prabhupada said, "Bring that tape." So they brought the cassette. They put it in. Prabhupada sat there. He was listening. And I was, oh, God, what did I do? My stomach is churning. I'm perspiring. I'm nervous. I can't remember what I said. But finally, my turn comes on the tape. And then, by Krishna's mercy, only by Krishna's mercy, is nothing of my own doing, believe me. Suddenly, there's this loud voice with a New York twang, Bhavananda, saying, "Only Prabhupada went to the West to deliver us. There is no one but Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai." And Prabhupada went, "All right." So I was saved. All right. That's all. Because that's true. Only Prabhupada went to the West. Everyone else gave lip service to that. What is that shloka? Lord Chaitanya? Yes. You should all go and preach all over the world, all you Indians. All you fortunate to be born in Bharatvarsh should preach all over the world. And I remember one of Prabhupada's godbrothers said that when they would discuss that verse, they thought it was simply nice. It was a nice idea, but they didn't think it was really serious. And he admitted, "But your Guru Maharaj, he took it seriously, he did it." And they were all astounded. They just thought it was nice poetry, it was a nice sentiment. You should all preach all over the world. And they thought it was a nice sentiment. Then Prabhupada went to the West, underwent so much difficulty, and then, even more, he came back and preached again here and revived the Krishna consciousness movement in India. And as a result of that, all of you are sitting here. Therefore, we say, "Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada." No one else picked you up and brought you here. Now there are so many hundreds and thousands of devotees in India who are practicing Krishna consciousness, the real thing. The Krishna consciousness, not that others aren't preaching the real thing, but only it would appear that only ISKCON has the power to change people's minds, to change people's lives. Not only brahmacharis, but grihastas. That is the most amazing thing. In India, like we have Muralidhar Prabhu, he could have a big, big, big flourishing practice. But his wife tells him, don't spend so much time because it takes away from your devotional life. Where do you find grihasthas like that except in ISKCON? Isn't it? Amazing. From the highest materially, Srinathji, Krishna Chandra, down to the lowest, so-called lowest, they're all equal, serving Prabhupada. Therefore, ISKCON is Jai Prabhupada. This is the potency. Vibhuti means potent. And what is that potency? The potency to change the mind of a living entity. So we are not ISKCON. Prabhupada is ISKCON. And we're in training. We are in training. Of course, Prabhupada would say, no, all my devotees, they are ISKCON. But we know that Prabhupada is ISKCON. Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Nothing else. Not even Jai Gaur Nithai. Not even Jai Radha Krishna. Really. Because without Prabhupada, we cannot understand any of Lord Chaitanya's message or desire, or any of the intimate, subtle pastimes of Radha and Krishna. What to speak of Radha and Krishna? We cannot even, should not even be mentioning their name when Narad Muni was instructing Gopa Kumar. When it came to discussing the pastimes of the residents of Vrindavan, Narad Muni himself felt unqualified to speak about them. So he turned it over to Uddhava, who had spent some time there, who he felt understood more the glories of the residents of Braj. In the same way, how do we know what Lord Chaitanya's instructions are, except they have manifest themselves in the personality of Srila Prabhupada? He is, others may say it, but Prabhupada actually lays claim to the title World Acharya. No one else can do nothing after Prabhupada. What can you do? You can't open a center anywhere in the world where Prabhupada hasn't been. He's already done there, been there, done that. He has staked the claim to the world Acharya. He has planted Lord Chaitanya's flag practically in every country of the world. It is mind-boggling when you look on the back of our magazines, all the centers of ISKCON. It goes on and on and on. In some of the most, whose names, in countries whose names I can't even pronounce. I don't even know where they are. Where is that? But we have a center there. And where we have a center, that means we have devotees. Recently in Mayapur, on Prabhupada's disappearance day, the most glorious part of the ceremony, everyone was speaking, when there were 50 Chinese devotees there from inland China. And one of their devotees came up and spoke in Chinese, and they had another Chinese girl there translating. And for me, it was the most glorious moment to see the potency of Prabhupada. Because this is what I was thinking. This is Guru Parampara. How potent. From Prabhupada to Tamal Krishna Maharaj to China. And what have we now? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of devotees in China. From that time, when Prabhupada's lip was quivering, and Tamal said in Prabhupada's room at Mayapur, "You've taken everything, I might as well go to China." Baba stopped. He said, "Yes, you go to China." "No, but I didn't mean that." Prabhupada saw that as the desire of Krishna, who used Tamal to as the via media to expand, to start our preaching in China. "Yes." "Immediately, yes. You go to China. Krishna made you say that." Well, Tamal hemmed and hawed. "But Prabhupada, but no. No Radha Damodar, no book distribution, nothing. You go to China." And he didn't want to go. A big room full of, again in Mayapur, devotees. So one devotee said, "I'll go to China." "No! I don't want you to go. I want him to go." And his lip was quivering. Prabhupada's lip. When Prabhupada's lip quivered and fire shot out of his eyes, "You did what you were told. I want him to go." And he went. And what do we have today? Hundreds and hundreds of devotees in a country that you never, ever, ever would have imagined. And his godbrothers certainly would never have imagined that there would be any chanting of Hare Krishna. This is vibhuti. This is potency. So even though Tamal Krishna Maharaj did it a little bit under duress, you know duress? He was pressured by Prabhupada. He didn't really want to do it, but he did it. And over the years, he would travel into the interior of China in disguise. Didn't matter. He was carrying with him the potency of Prabhupada. And it's manifest. Just like you were talking yesterday about Prabhupada walking in Red Square. You know, when I was born in 1939, I never thought there would be a time when 1939 seemed long, long, long ago. But it's a long time ago. We were brought up in school in the 40s and the 50s that Russia, the Soviet Union, was the enemy. Was the enemy. We were taught like that. The Red Peril. And we would have in school air raid warnings. The air raid siren would go off, and we'd all have to get under our desks. You know, you have your desk. Get under our desk. Why? To protect us in case there's an atomic bomb attack. Can you imagine thinking a desk is going to protect you? But that's from an atomic bomb. But anyway, the point was, they were afraid that there would be an attack, that the Russians would come and drop. But where is our Russian devotee? I don't mean any offense. Where are you? Oh yeah, don't mean any offense. But that's what it was like. The Russians would come and drop an atomic bomb on our heads. All over, people were digging holes and making fallout shelters in cases. So for me, materially, one of the most extraordinary, for me, the most historic thing was the dissolution of the Soviet Union in, what was it, 1992? Huh? 1992. Was it? 91. The whole Soviet Union broke up. And what do you have? Thousands of devotees. All from Prabhupada walking around Red Square. That's vibhuti. And don't think we don't have to make a rabid revolution in the streets of China. The revolution will come about by Krishna's arrangement. The seed was planted, it's starting to grow, everything will take place. Why? Because Prabhupada says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is meant to bring a revolution in the impious lot, in the impious lives of, no. Of a misdirected civilization. Even in rapidly atheistic countries, Russia, its policy was atheism. China, its policy is atheism. There is no God. Yet, if there is no God, how are there devotees? Just waiting. Prabhupada once was saying, oh, you were all devotees sent by Bhakti Siddhanta to help me. It was in Mayapur. I said, Prabhupada, how could that be? I said, we were born in the most low families of meat eaters. Meat eaters. We lived on cow flesh. For all its glamour, the American society is based on living on cow flesh. Ugh, it's disgusting. But it has this glamorous facade. And then here in India, you see so many people want to imitate America, so they take up meat eating. But anyway, that's another issue. But it's a flesh eating. I said, we were born in the family of meat eaters, brought up on cow flesh. Prabhupada said, that was only external. As soon as you heard the holy name, you came running. Of course, that was Prabhupada's kindness on us. It wasn't. It was his potency. We didn't come running. We were dragged. Fortunately. If it were up to me, it would be sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Or for all of you, sex, drugs, and Bollywood. Same thing. Maya. We were dragged, kicking and screaming, all the way back to Godhead. All we have to do is just surrender, and it becomes very easy. It becomes very nice. But anyway, all of it is the potency, the vibhuti, of Krishna's pure devotee. And that pure devotee, not that there are not other pure devotees, but practically speaking, I always take the stand, there was only one pure devotee here, and that was Prabhupada. Therefore, ISKCON, which is transforming the world, before our very eyes, there are thousands and thousands of devotees in Russia. There are who knows how many devotees in China. There are devotees everywhere in the furthest corners of the world, in the most inhospitable geographically, in Siberia, in Tierra del Fuego, in everywhere in the world, except Antarctica, where there are no people, there's just penguins. But aside from that, even I read this morning that even the birds can become Krishna conscious. I read in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Even the birds. If a bird says the Lord's holy name even once, even they'll become devotees. So there are only penguins in Antarctica, but hopefully maybe one day they'll become devotees. Who knows? I don't know if any devotee has been down there. You never know. Wouldn't surprise me. When I heard there was a center in Mongolia. Mongolia. Far off. The home of Genghis Khan. You know, ferocious people. There's a center there. Siberia, where you have to run. When you're shopping, you have to run. Indrajumna Maharaj was telling me. It's so cold, you have to run from store to store. Everyone runs on the street. No one walks, because you freeze. You freeze. They're devotees, chanting Hare Krishna. So what a wonderful thing. It's extraordinary. It is beyond, it is unimaginable, but even that which is unimaginable to the conditioned living entity, it is possible by the mercy of the vibhuti personalities like Prabhupada. That which seems impossible is possible by the mercy of Prabhupada as the perfect receptacle for the mercy of Gaur and Nitai. This is Lord Chaitanya's desire. And Prabhupada fulfilled that. I just think he's still here. I was going to say, and Prabhupada is fulfilling that desire as if he were still here. And he is. He is. Otherwise, how is everything going on? Except those devotees who become very good receivers of Prabhupada's mercy. It's just like here. I don't mean to flatter you all, but it's like here in Chaupati. For the past few years, I've been coming here, and I say to different devotees like Atmaram Prabhu in Sydney, how it all goes on, how they come up with all these wonderful preaching programs, and how is it all? I said, I could never think of these things. And then I realized it's by the mercy of Prabhupada and Radhanath Swami. We don't have to think of different material, come up with different material, solutions. There's no solution to any problem besetting ISKCON except purity. That's the only solution. And by the purity, everything goes on. Everything goes on so nicely. But when we turn to different materialistic methods of corporate management or how to make ourselves understood, we have to do it this way, we should do it that way. Now, you just become pure. You chant Hare Krishna. Isn't that what Prabhupada said? Just chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. Oh, Prabhupada, this, that. Chant Hare Krishna. We would think, oh, simplistic. No, chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna, and if you know what's good for you, glorify this great vibhuti personality, Prabhupada, all over the world. You will never, ever be the loser, and you will be able to accomplish great things. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm not taking any credit for what I'm about to say, but I want to give you an example. For years and years, not to discredit any devotees who were working on the Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir, Temple of the Vedic Planetarium. But for the past 10 years, they've been trying to build this temple, trying to come up with a plan, trying to do this, trying to do that. They've spent millions and millions and millions of dollars, And quite honestly, they didn't accomplish anything. But when Ambarish Prabhu, when he came here last February to go to, or January to go to Ujjain, then we were talking about, he was told by Prabhupada to finance this temple. So he said, I want to build the temple. He said, not necessarily that one. So we sat down and we, over with Sadbhuj Prabhu, we tried to come up with a design which would fulfill everything that Prabhupada said about the temple. He wanted a dome. He wanted it like the Washington Capitol. He wanted a chandelier. He wanted escalators. He wanted diorama exhibits. He wanted a planetarium. So we came up, and in 6 months, because we were trying to fulfill his desire, not someone else's idea, we were able to come up with a design and foundation plans and columns, and we're ready to begin building today for a wonderful cost of $33,000 as opposed to $15 million and produce nothing. So that, it's not to boast, but I'm just trying to tell you, give you an example of how when you connect with Prabhupada's desire, things become very easy. Not that you don't work. Not that, oh, well, Prabhupada said, Chan, I'll just sit back here and chant Hare Krishna. No, you have to work. But any obstacle can be overcome. And everything becomes clear as you conform and come into line with Prabhupada's desire. That's the strength of Bibhuti, and that is the strength of the disciplic succession. You may even be a guru. You may even have title guru. But if you're not in line with Prabhupada, what's the use of you? Krishna consciousness is not meant for just acquiring titles and position. It's meant for falling into line. Get in line. Pull up your socks and do what Prabhupada wanted. Therefore, Prabhupada said, do as I am doing. Every movement, every word was deep, was profound, was grave. But he also had a wonderful sense of humor. Like that story yesterday, 6226, 6226. But deep. Prabhupada was deep. Why? He was representing Krishna. Naturally. He was representing Lord Chaitanya. Joyful. Devotees dance. They jump up and down. He would always go like, he loved that. Like Shudakirti was saying. Prabhupada would sit there and he'd go like that, especially Brahmananda. He would make Brahmananda, because he was a big fellow, or is a big, bigger now. But he loved him to jump up and down. And Brahmananda loved to jump up and down. Bibhuti. At his command, at his blink of his eye, big, big men jump up and down like crazy men. Prabhupada was small in stature, but mighty in demeanor. That is Vibhuti. You don't have to be big, 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 but mighty. Vibhuti. Representing the Lord. That is incumbent on every one of us. All right, I think I've told not enough stories. I want to thank everyone for making my stay very pleasant. I come here as like R&R, rest and relaxation. It's nice because in Bombay, if I'm going about my activities, I get to chant all my japa in the car. Because Bombay means you go from one traffic jam to the next traffic jam. You spend hours and hours in the car. So you chant Hare Krishna. And somehow the time passes. I don't know how you get anything done here, but you do. Such a crazy city. I want to congratulate Jean-Paul for going out on the trains, even though it must be hell. But for Prabhupada's desire, we do anything. I want to thank Gauranga for being so nice and pure and guiding all of these devotees. I want to thank Gauranga Priya for eating ice cream with me. He was so afraid he would ruin his brahmachari life. But after he had the mango ice cream, he said, now it's all right. Gaur Krishna Das, for having grown 1 inch due to his karams, his wooden shoes. Mysterious, enigmatic Gaur Krishna. Who else? Radha Jyoti, for becoming thinner and thinner. Where is it? Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. I saw him yesterday. He was able to go right behind here. And I said to him yesterday, I said, 6 months ago, you wouldn't have been able to fit through there. He said, no. He said, I wouldn't have dared even try. And all the devotees, thank you very much for making my stay. I always feel very happy to be here. And I'll see you, if you're here, I'll see you in February, right, Muralidhar? I'm coming in February. Thank you, Muralidhar. The most wonderful prasad I had yesterday. Sadhbhuj said, that was the best South Indian food I've ever eaten, and I've lived here in India for 19 years. Thank you, Mataji. You're very kind. Family. In India, of course, you still have joint family. Like, Mataji was there and all her sister-in-laws were there. Joint family. Everyone is the same, right? Vibhuti, Lord Brahma, and they're all the same. So we are a joint family. We care about everyone in our family. We're all equal in our family. We may have little disagreements. That's family thing. But the basic ingredient is, you are my relative, I love you. Isn't it? That's how it works. So that's why the ISKCON family is so nice. Even though we come from all places in the world, all different colors, all different shapes, but we're all family. So thank you. Hare Krishna. Any questions? I don't want to keep you from your prasad. Or I don't want to keep myself from my prasad.
Hare Krishna. In your lecture, you said that revolution will take place not by us shouting in the streets, but it's all happening by Krishna's arrangement.
I meant by, Zindabad, Zindabad. Not that kind of revolution. Not that kind of shouting. Down with this one, down with that one. But it takes place subtly. Without Prabhupada going to Red Square, initiating that devotee, planting the seed, as we like to say, and then by Krishna's arrangement, 20, 25 years later, the whole Soviet Union is gone. And Krishna consciousness is able to flourish. Whereas before then, if you tried to be a devotee, they put you in the insane asylum. They'd inject you with insulin just to make you crazy. It was so hard there. But by Lord Chaitanya's different transcendental maneuvers, he destroyed it. Not that we take up guns and go shooting the... They'll shoot themselves. We just chant Hare Krishna and watch it all go on. Is that... Does that answer your question? Who can understand the Lord, how He works? It's way beyond me. Like I was saying, I never would have realized that such a thing would happen. But it did. This is what I told the Chinese devotees when I spoke to them. That you don't realize how things will happen, but they will happen. You just continue chanting Hare Krishna. The action, it's at work. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.
Sir, I would like to know how we have to be purified ourselves.
Chant Hare Krishna. There is no other way. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Kalo, in this Kali Yuga, where everyone is nasty, everyone is disturbed, everyone is proud, everyone is fallen, everyone is just crazy. In the Kali Yuga, the worst age to be born, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva. You just chant Hare Krishna. That was Lord Chaitanya's mission. That's why he came. And what happens is you can be delivered the most fallen, the most wretched, the most lowborn, can be delivered to the highest understanding that is attainable, the love of Radha and Krishna. Totally undeserving. But unless you chant Hare Krishna, you will never understand that. And follow the instructions of the Vibhuti personality, Srila Prabhupada. There's no one for us but Prabhupada. And I don't think Radhanath Swami would disagree. I don't think any qualified guru in the ISKCON movement would disagree. Their whole purpose, really, is to give you Prabhupada. There's no one but him. And he had a little teeny spot on his cloth. You know, I always have to criticize. When I came in, there was a little teeny spot on his top piece. But anyway, it's covered by the garland, so it's all right. Just covered up. And as Sadhbhuj was saying yesterday, again in relation to this Radha Gopinath Chaupati Mandir, he walked all over. He couldn't find one corner of your whole place here that had any dirt. He not that he went out looking, but as he was walking, not like me, as he was walking around, he just wanted to see the whole, you know, every up in the rooftops and the library and all little crannies, little rooms, no dirt. However, may I add that this morning I found a place that you overlooked. I'll point it out to Gauranga Priya. You see that it gets cleaned. I found one place, and just by accident, not that I was looking either. Spotless Prabhupada said, cleanliness is next to godliness. We are devotees. Devotees mean clean. bathe 2-3 times a day, always have clean cloth, and live in a clean environment. It's so nice. It's the proper way. This is Krishna's house. Krishna's house has no dirt. Even the gopis or the queens in Dwarka, there's no dust, but still they're sweeping the walks. Service. So thank you very much. I'll call this to an end until we meet again. Hopefully it will be soon. Hare Krishna.
So let us express our gratitude to His Grace Bhavananda Prabhu for His wonderful association and inspiring classes by loudly chanting Hare Krishna.